reading from Psalm 103, verse 10 and 12. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins or paid us back for our wrongs. In his goodness, he has taken our sins away and removed them as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, verse 10 and 12. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is October 22nd, 2025. We're continuing with our series, 40 Days of Prayer. This is part 3. Who do you think you are talking to? We began this message last Wednesday. We'll hear a portion today and complete it next Wednesday, as we'll be looking at God always gives what we need, not what we deserve, and that God put our good above his own good. So please stay listening as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church begins by talking about redemptive suffering.
The more you pray, the better you're going to know your purpose. And the better you know your purpose, the more God can use everything in your life, even the stuff that people plan against you. You know the story of Joseph in the Bible, where his brothers sold him into slavery, but he ends up being second in command in Egypt. And years later, he confronts his brothers, and he says in Genesis 50:20, "Your plan was to hurt me, but God turned your evil plan into a good plan to save the lives of many people." That's called redemptive suffering. Sometimes you suffer for the benefit of other people. That's what Jesus did for you. When he died on the cross, that's redemptive suffering. He wasn't paying for his sins. He didn't have any. He's paying for yours. And sometimes, like in Joseph's case, God takes the bitter and he makes the world better because of what you went through. God says, it's not all good in your life, but I can use it all for good and fit it into the plan. Even the hurts and the sins of other people, even when you're an innocent person and you've been hurt by others, was that good? No, it was not good when you were hurt. But can God use it for good? Yes, because God is a good God. And he loves to bring good out of bad. Anybody can bring good out of good. God brings good out of bad. So the more you trust the goodness of God, the happier you're going to be. Romans 5:3. So we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. What? That sounds kind of masochistic. Oh, happy day. I'm in a problem. He says, we can rejoice when we even run into problems. You can be happy even in the middle of pressure and trials and troubles and tribulation. Why? Notice the phrase, for we know. Circle the phrase, for we know. Happiness in life depends on what you know, not what you go through. You can take two people, put them through the same circumstance. One of them's happy, one of them's devastated. Why? Because it's what you know. What you know makes a difference. We can be rejoicing when we run into problems and trials, for we know, what do we know? That they're good for us. Why? Because God is a good God. And God says, I'll even use the bad stuff in your life for good if you'll let me. Doesn't happen with everybody. If you'll let me, I'll use the bad for good in your life. We know that they're good for us. They help us learn patient endurance. God's much more interested in your character, what you become, than your comfort. You're not taking your car to heaven, your cash to heaven, your career to heaven, your China to heaven. You are taking your character. The only thing you're taking to heaven is you. God wants to grow it here on earth before he takes it into eternity. How does he do it? Through all these different things. And he says, I'll use it all. I'm a good God. And he says, everything that God does in my life, he says, I'm going to use it for good. On earth, God's more interested in your character. This is not heaven. So don't expect life to be perfect. It's not. But he says, I can even bring good out of bad. Now, I want you to write this sentence down. Everything God does in my life, he does for my good. God's not trying to get even with you. God is trying to grow you. Everything God does in my life, he does for my good because he is a good God. So that's the first thing that we learn, that God's plans for my life will always be good because God is a good God. He doesn't have bad plans for your life. The more you get to know God, the more you understand God's plans. All right, number two, second pillar of God's goodness. Because God is always good, God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. If you and I got what we deserved, we wouldn't even be here. Psalm 103 says this, verse 10 and verse 12. He, God, has not treated us as we deserve. He's not treated us as we deserve for our sins or paid us back for our wrongs. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for all your sins and all your wrongs. And if you had to pay for your own sins and wrongs, then why did Jesus die on the cross? That's called double jeopardy. If you put your trust in Christ, all your sins have been paid for. So why would you have to pay for them? He's already paid for them. He's not treated us as we deserve for our sins, paid us back for our wrongs. In his goodness, this is what he's saying, he has taken our sins away and removed them as far as the east is from the west. I like that he says from the east to the west because there's no end to east and west. There is a north pole, there is a south pole, there's an ending to those. But he says God takes your sins and he just wipes them out. One verse in the Bible says he puts them in the deepest part of the sea, metaphorically. And then he puts up a no fishing sign. You need to stop dragging them. If God has forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself. Now, God is good. He gives me what I need, not what I deserve. This guy in the Bible, David, King David, commits adultery, and then to cover it up, he has the wife's husband murdered. Pretty big sins. Murder and adultery, right up there at the top. Did David deserve to be forgiven? No. Did David deserve mercy? No. But David knows that God is a good God. And so he asks for mercy. Here's what he prays, Psalm 51. If you are in a big sin right now, you need to go read Psalm 51. God, in your goodness, have mercy on me. Not because I deserve it, because you're a good God. Have mercy on me. Wash away all my guilt. Make me clean again from my sin. Cleanse me. All of that is based on who God is, not who you are. Let me make this real clear to you. God forgives you, not because you're good. God forgives you because he's good. It's not based on your goodness. You think, well, if I'm just so good in this area, then God will forgive me. Won't happen. Doesn't matter. God forgives you not because of your goodness. God forgives you because he is a good God. He has a plan, and that's a good plan. And when you blow it and you need forgiveness, he gives forgiveness because he is a good God. Now, here's the new cool thing about this. Not only does God forgive your sins, when you come and ask, say, God, I know you're a good God. You're a merciful God. I ask you to show me mercy. I ask you to forgive my sin. Not only does he forgive us, he welcomes you back. Now, this is a big deal. He does not reject you when you sin. He receives you back. This is the exact opposite of what people do. When you hurt somebody, when you sin against them, do they want to receive you back? Absolutely not. They want to be standoff. They want to be distant. They want to push you away. They want to reject you, not receive you. And yet God says, even when you sin, because I am a good God, I will receive you. I will not reject you. God is unlike people in this. Now, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor a long time. I've talked to tens of thousands of people. So I know your little secret. Some of you said, I'm leaving right now. And I'm going to put it on the screen here in just a minute. No. I'm a good pastor. What I know about every one of you is one of your deepest fears is the fear of rejection. And you do almost anything in your life to avoid it. You don't want to be rejected by anybody. You want everybody to like you and love you. And you don't want anybody to think you're a doofus. So you say, I'm not going to get out on that dance field, you know, on that dance hall at that wedding. I can't dance. Because somebody else look at it and they go, look how stupid she looks. And you do as much of your life you've planned in order to avoid rejection. I don't do these certain things. I don't go to these certain places. I only have these certain friends. I limit my life because I don't want to be rejected. It is a deep, deep fear that you have. The fear of somebody finding out what you're really like. Years ago, there was a book called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And the answer is, because if I tell you what I'm really like and you don't like it, I'm up a creek without a paddle because I'm all I've got. So we spend most of our lives wearing masks, pretending to be people we're not. Because if you really let people see what you really are, you're afraid They would reject you. It's one of your deepest fears. But because God, listen, is good, always good, and never bad, God will never, 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 never reject you. Even when you sin against him and you hurt him and you don't do what he's told you to do, you can come back. He will receive you, not reject you. Just come back to him humbly. Look at this next verse, Psalm 27, verses 10 to 13. Even if my father and mother abandon me. Some of you have been rejected by your parents. You're no longer my son. Get out of my life. I don't want to see you again. You've hurt me too much, or whatever. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Do you hear the tenderness in that verse? Everybody wants to be held close. God will hold you close. Everybody will hold you. He says, David says, my enemies are waiting for me to fail. Okay? They want me to fall. Because and they know I'm a sinner. They know I'm imperfect. My enemies are waiting, so they can just say, da-da-da-da-da-da, say, you did it. Yet he says, even if my mother and father abandon me, and my enemies are against me, yet I will remain confident. Why? Look at the rest of the verse. I remain confident that I'll see the goodness of the Lord while I'm living here in the world. You messed up. You screwed up. You made a big mistake. God is the God of the second chance. Why? He is a good, good father. He's good and gracious. Now, because God is always good and God is always gracious, when we pray, we can be always bold and always confident. We don't have to come slinking into God with our tail between our legs and kind of, you know, mousy, because we know. We just come and say, God, you knew I blew it. But you are a good father. It's who you are. And this is who I am. But it's who you are that matters. God is good and gracious always, so we can be bold and confident always in prayer. You don't have to slink around and say, I wonder if I should pray this or not. Pray anything you want to pray about. And God will hear it. Hebrews chapter 4 in the Bible, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says Jesus, talking about Jesus, understands our weaknesses. In fact, God knows your weaknesses better than you do. He even knows the weaknesses you have that you don't even know are weak. Jesus understands our weaknesses and our temptations, for he faced all of the same temptations that we do here on earth, yet he did not sin because he was perfect. So let us come boldly with confidence. Circle that, boldly with confidence. Let us come boldly with confidence to the throne of our gracious, our good God. He's talking about prayer. And there we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it. All right? So how do I know God is good? Because everything he does in the world is good. God's plan for my life will always be good. He's not going to steer me in the wrong direction. I will steer myself in the wrong direction, but he won't. And God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. So when I need forgiveness, he doesn't give me judgment, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now here's the third one. Third factor for God's goodness. Because God is always good. This almost sounds like heresy, but it's right out of the scripture. God puts my good above his own good. Because God is always, always good, he puts my good even above his own good. Friends, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the good news, that the king sacrifices himself for the peasants. The reason I know that the Bible is true rather than a fairy tale, because in the fairy tales, everybody dies for the king. Protect the king at all costs. Protect the queen at all costs. Protect the princess at all costs. And all the peons and the peasants and the slaves and the soldiers, everybody's dying to protect the king. There's only one story in the world where the king dies for the people. It's called the gospel. This is what makes our faith different from every other storyline in the world. God says, you've sinned, you deserve punishment, you deserve to go to hell, but I'm a good God and I love you. But I'm also holy and just, and somebody's got to pay for your sins. So here's the deal. I'll do it. I'll pay for your sins. I will come to earth as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and I will die for your sins. You're not dying for mine. I'm dying for yours. God doesn't have any sins. This is the gospel. This is the king sacrifices himself for the peasants. This is the ultimate expression of love. The shepherd dies for the sheep. Look at this next verse. Jesus says, John 10, I am the good, there's that word, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, and I will sacrifice my life for the sheep. Really? That's unbelievable. That's almost too good to be true. I can stumble over that. You're going to die for me, the shepherd. If any of you had a flock of sheep, would you die for your sheep? Absolutely not. No shepherd in history has died for his sheep. They're just sheep. But God, the creator of the universe, is a good God. He dies for you. The shepherd dies for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Look up here on the screen. John 15, 13. The greatest love you can have is to give your life for others. So when you look at the cross, whether you're wearing one around your neck, or you see it on a hospital, or you see it in the cemeteries, or you see it wherever, Red Cross, whenever you see a cross, you just remember that is the symbol of God's goodness. It is the greatest symbol of the goodness of God. It is a picture. The perfect one dies for the imperfect one. Nobody has ever offered to pay for your sins except God. Nobody ever will offer to pay for your sins except God. When Jesus is dying on the cross, he didn't die from the Romans. He died love in the first degree. It was love. I love you this much. I'm willing to die for you. Why? Because I am the good God, and all that is good in the universe comes from me, and all that is bad in the universe comes from when you reject my goodness and do what you want to do. Here's the mind-blowing thing. Not only did Jesus die to pay for your sins, that's good enough right there, but he has another thing he does. In that, there is a great exchange. He imputes his goodness. He puts his goodness inside you. He takes all the bad out and puts all the good in God's eyes. It's like blood transfusion. This is a great exchange. Look at this next verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God took the sinless Christ, he'd never done anything wrong, and poured into him all our sins. Jesus takes the guilt from every rape, every murder, every gossip, every lie, every molestation, every evil, every tax evasion, everything done wrong ever in history. God took the sinless Christ and poured into him all our sins, all the sins of the world. Then, here's the unbelievable part. In exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Are you kidding me? When God looks at you, he does not see your sin. He sees God's goodness. He sees the goodness of Christ. He takes all the bad out. He puts all the good in. This is the great exchange. Does anybody remember the name Monty Hall? That was a TV show, Let's Make a Deal. Behind door number one, door number two, door number three, and you pick, let's make a deal. In the eternal, let's make a deal. There are three eternals. Open up, door number one. You have sinned, you need to pay for it, go to hell. Ah! That's door number one. Door number two. You have sinned, you're gonna try to pay for your sins by doing some good things. Ah! You can't be good enough. Doesn't work. Door number three, door's open. Jesus Christ says, here's the deal. I'll take all of your guilt, all of your sin, and I'm gonna give you all of my goodness. That's a deal. What a deal. This is the best news in the world, friends. It's why we grow Saddleback Church. It's why we start new campuses. It's why we do the peace plan, because everybody needs to know there's an exchange available out there, like a blood transfer. How about you want to get rid of all the badness in your life and get all the goodness of God in your life, and then you go to heaven, which is the perfect place? You're not getting there with all your badness. You're only getting there with all of God's goodness. But it's already been paid for, and it's free. Why? Because God is a good God. What a deal. What a deal. Notice the next verse, Romans 4, 25. Jesus died for our sins and rose again, that's Easter, to make us right with God. And then here's the phrase, filling us with God's goodness. In God's eyes, God does not see any sin in your life. The one you did today, the one you're going to do tomorrow. He doesn't see it. He sees all the goodness of Christ poured into you. If you were to die tonight, and you were to go to heaven and you say, now, God, about that sin yesterday, you go, what sin? What are you talking about? Because it's all been wiped out. It's all been washed away. It's all been paid for. It's all been taken by Christ. He said, what sin? What are you talking about? All he sees is the goodness of Christ in you. That is the good news. That is amazing. Now, what in the world does what I've just talked about for the last 5 minutes have to do with prayer? It has everything to do with prayer. And if you don't understand what I just said, you'll never understand prayer. This is amazing. What God did for you at the cross makes prayer possible. Look at the next verse, Romans chapter 8 in the Bible, verse 32. Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave Christ up for us all, he sent his son to die for the sins that you committed and I committed. Since God didn't spare even his own son, but gave Christ up for us all, won't he now also give us everything else we need? Do you see the logic of this verse? That when Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, he solved your biggest problem. Any other problem you have in your life is small potatoes. If Jesus Christ and God loved you enough in their own goodness, in God's goodness, to die for you, don't you think he loves you enough to help you with your bills and your health and your relationship? Everything else in your life is small potatoes. There is nothing you can't bring to God in prayer. If he loved you enough to die for you, he loves you enough to answer your prayer. All right, now the fourth truth. Because God is always a good God. This is the hard one. You're not gonna like this one. It said God is good, so he always has a good plan for your life. And God is good because he always gives you what you need, not what you deserve. And God is good because he puts my good ahead of his own. But here's number four. Because God is always good, he does not say yes to every request.
Yes, listening friend, because God is good, he does not say yes to every request. Next Wednesday, we'll pick up right here as we continue this series by Pastor Rick Warren, 40 Days of Prayer. And last Wednesday, today, and next Wednesday, we're looking at who do you think you are talking to? If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.